on the phone from his home on WIP. It's the WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz, we're at Chickie's in South Philly. Perfect place for a pregame, in-game, or postgame snack for this weekend's Eagles preseason game. The official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles, that is Chickie's and Pete's. Elliot Shore Parks joins us, who is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliot, before we get going on the Eagles stuff, first of all, your opinion, how much blame does Rob Thomson deserve for the current Phillies slide?
Not much. I mean, if at all. Like, this is definitely just on the team, on the players. And it's just, this is who they are. I think we talked ourselves, and it's actually kind of sad. Like, I think we convinced ourselves that they were different than the Sixers. They were different than the Eagles. This team is clutch. We can count on them. In reality, what they are is they're just a pretty good team that got hot twice, and we have to hope they get hot again. But they're no different than anything like that.
Jack, your thoughts?
Another great point. So, Elliot, what do you think about training camp now that it's over?
Okay, all right. Wow, Jack just changing the topic. What do you think about training camp?
I will say a few people at practice came up to me and asked how you were handling the Phillies. So
yeah. Everyone's aware that I'm always, you know, one step closer to the bridge with every loss.
Yeah. and actually, before we get to camp and Eagles stuff, I haven't heard you say anything about fantasy. Now, we're filling out the...
He hates fantasy.
The afternoon show, Fantasy Football League. You hate fantasy? Is that the bit?
So I was in the fantasy league 1 year at work, and I just didn't... I didn't take it seriously enough, let's put it that way. So I don't think I'll be repeating my role in the fantasy league.
Wow. Well, Rod made me. Not only am I in our league, I'm in the station league as well. Maybe he just doesn't...
Let me give you some advice.
Yeah.
Don't set your lineup a week or two, and they won't make you next year. I promise you.
No, so. I can't be that. Anything I do, unfortunately, I do too much. So Eagles make a big trade yesterday. Trade for Jahan Dotson. You know, we heard from Brian Mitchell yesterday, who said there were clearly some attitude and I think motivational problems in Washington. He might have even gotten cut if they didn't find somebody to trade for him. Do you think he walks in here and is for sure wide receiver 3 in opening day in Brazil?
Definitely. I don't think there's any question. I mean, A, he's definitely the third best receiver on the roster. I mean, the guys he's competing with, Paris Campbell did have a nice offseason. I was impressed by him in OTAs, but he missed so much of training camp. I think it's hard for him to have that spot locked down. But outside of that, he's competing with Johnny Wilson, a rookie who's missed a week with a concussion, John Ross, who, you know, probably won't make the team, Britton Covey, who has had a great camp, but I don't think they're going to put him out there. So you don't trade a third-round pick and then have the guy compete with Britton Covey for snaps. So he will be out there for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious at the, I guess, the urgency to get this done with a guy the caliber of a Jahan Dotson. The only reason why I say that is because, from all reports, Saquon's going to catch the ball a lot out of the backfield. You got Dallas Goedert there. Like, is it worth it? Are you going to get the amount of production out of him that you want from a third wide receiver when you have so many different mouths to feed?
So I think, you know, if you're expecting him, or if anyone's expecting him to get 50 catches and 500 yards, that's probably not going to happen. I think Jahan Dotson becomes worth the pick if he checks two boxes. One, if he just makes the most of the opportunities that come his way. Like, the third wide receiver, I agree, is not a big part of the offense, but people were pretty upset when Quez was here because the one or two targets he got a game, he didn't make the most of them, and they really stand out. So I think just an upgrade on that could be worth it. But where it's truly worth it is he has played on the outside a lot. If you look at his career, he's viewed as a slot receiver coming in here, but he's played almost twice as many snaps in his career on the outside. So what this really is it's also an insurance policy for AJ or Devon. If one of them were to go down for a long stretch or even a game or two, Dotson at least has experience lining up on the outside, beating one of the top two guys, and he's been fairly productive considering the quarterbacks he has. So I think this is more about that than it is, you know, getting almost 1,000 yards out of him or something like that.
Well, I mean, I love the fact that he's here, and you're right about that. I think we're not reading this right if we're expecting that level of production. But I'm just looking at the importance of the Eagles feeling the need to go do this. This says a lot to me about what they expect to do with the offense, which is you're going to put the ball up in the air. Like, they're going to throw the ball with Jalen Hurts out there. I think for some of us, they may have thought, you know, Saquon was going to rush for X amount of yards. We may have to look at Saquon in a total yardage package versus how many rushing yards he gets.
I would even look at Saquon over a total yardage thing over 2 years, because they're thinking about, you know, you rush him 18
times a game. Well, certainly it's not a one-year deal. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they want 2 good years out of Saquon. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, training camp, and I don't know if this is the best indication, because I don't think it'll be exact like this in the regular season. But if you look at the touches he got in training camp, it was almost 50-50 with catches and run and rushes. So yeah, he was definitely very involved in the passing game for sure. Yep.
So you brought up the other question I was going to ask about Dotson, because he has played more outside in Washington than he did here. Now, obviously, you haven't seen him practice with the team yet. But based on what you've seen in other practices with AJ and Devontae, how often were those guys in the slot? Because I know early in camp we were talking about maybe having those guys line up there more often.
Yeah.
So do you think that it's likely that we see AJ in the slot more, maybe even see Devontae in the slot more, having a third wide receiver that can play outside?
Definitely. One thing that AJ and Devontae have talked about with what they like with the offense is there is more freedom for them to line up in different places. I think last year what Nick and Brian Johnson did was basically you line up the same way and then you do a different play out of that formation. And towards the end of the year, obviously that didn't work great. I think that in camp this year, there's been much more movement. They've been in bunch formations, they've been in slot, they've been in their shooters still out wide position. So I definitely think one of the reasons, again, they like Dotson is because you look at, some of the other slot receivers we talked about, they were more strictly slot guys. I think they view him as having more versatility to fill in for an AJ on the outside if they want to put AJ in the slot.
Is there someone that you've seen in camp that you think is going to make the roster that will surprise people?
Yeah, so I think a name people should get to know is EJ Jenkins, the tight end. He was his first year with the team. I thought he had a really good camp. I thought was the second best receiving tight end that they had in camp. Calcaterra was probably right there with him, but Calcaterra was more of like a Zach Ertz over the middle possession guy. I think EJ Jenkins is closer to Goddard in what he can do with the ball and the way that they can use him. They already cut CJ Uzomah, so they're already down one tight end. Albert O has missed a bunch of time. I think there's a good chance they probably just keep two tight ends, but if they keep a third, EJ Jenkins, I think, will be that tight end.
Let's face it, E, it's the third preseason game tomorrow. There's one player we all want to see. Quite frankly, this game wouldn't even matter if he wasn't playing in this game tomorrow, and that's Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
What are we going to see out of Cooper tomorrow? Do you think we're going to see more in that nickel position? Will he get some outside corner reps? Will he get to do some punt returning tomorrow? I'm wondering, it's going to be his first preseason action, and he's like a Swiss Army knife on defense. How do you expect him to be used tomorrow?
Yes, I think there's two things I'm looking for from Cooper tomorrow, and I agree. He is the player to watch the most of a few players, but he's got the most going for him tomorrow. One is just physically, how does he look? Recovering from that hamstring injury, does he look fast out there? How is he with tackling? How is he moving? Just physically, how has he been? Because he hasn't taken a ton of team reps since coming back. I would guess he's maybe 30 team reps, 40 team reps, something like that. So not a ton. But the second thing, to your point, is where are they? I think he will be in the nickel role predominantly. If they want to play him like all game to really get him going, maybe then you could see him on the outside at different times. But I think they view him as a nickel right now, because one thing they've started to do in camp as it wound down is when there were only two corners on the field, they moved Quinyon to the outside. So the two top corners on the roster going into week one are definitely Slay and Quinyon. And so if they want to get Cooper on the field, it's going to be in that nickel role. That's how you'll see him.
Did you just say Quinyon Mitchell is with the first team?
Yeah, so when they've been doing a base defense, which granted they won't run a ton, there will be nickels out on the field a lot.
Sure.
There's only four defensive backs, two safeties, two corners, the two corners have been Slay and Quinyon.
Wow, that's a big – That's a, yeah, because we were all thinking Isaiah Rodgers, I think, yeah. and maybe even Ringo. Whoa, right. So hearing that it's Mitchell, that's big news.
Yeah. I mean, they'll play a lot because when they're a nickel, Quinyon will move to nickel and right. Isaiah Rodgers and Keeley will come out. But when they're only in a two wide receiver, sorry, two corner set, it's yeah. going to be Quinyon. So that's probably one of the biggest developments of camp over the past 2 weeks, I would say. You know, going into camp, it was, well, where's Quinyon going to play? Is he going to spend a year kind of redshirting? You know, how are they going to get him out there? Are they going to be creative? It ended up, in my opinion, he earned the role of starting on the outside. I don't think they handed it to him. He improved as camp went on. So, yeah, he'll be, like, week one snap, I think he'll be right there with Clay.
Just a little tip for you. Base defense.
What was I saying?
Two corners on the defense.
Well, I said base a bunch of times, so I figured I would switch it up and say two corners.
No, just stick with base defense, guys.
Okay, I was trying to simplify it for us.
Well, base defense is yes, base defense is four defensive backs. Nickel is right. Five. Dime is six. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining that, Jack.
Well, you're the expert. I just wanted to put that out there for you.
Yeah. I think of
Elliot as more of a baseball expert than a football expert.
I agree. Yeah. He's dynamite on baseball.
Maybe even a movie expert.
Definitely a movie expert. So, Elliot, my only question is, do you think that if the Eagles were in the right – to unretire Brent Celek's number for Jahan Dotson?
So I don't think he's going to wear 87. My prediction is he will wear number 13. I know he's wearing 87 right now.
Why'd you just throw 13 out there? He wore one. Well,
13 may be coming open.
You think he's going to take Jalen's number? So I don't think he's going to take
Jalen's number. Well, no. I was like, how did you just throw out 13 out of nowhere?
Well, I'll tell you how. Because yesterday I spent time. I looked at every number on the roster. I thought, who could get cut? What numbers would look good on them? What ones are going to be available? And I think 13 is the best option. Will Greer is going to get cut. I definitely think he's more of a teams guy. Ideally single digit, but that's not going to happen with how their numbers are set up. So once they cut Will Greer, I think he will take 13. And he should. I don't think 87 is a good number for him.
Yeah, this is how much I've progressed. I grew up in the era of the 80s numbers.
Yes.
That's all wide receivers wore. I don't want to see a wide receiver with 80. Only one who looks good with 80 is CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. He does look
good. You've got to be tall. Tall to be in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, big guy with an 81.
That's the old school. I like the teen numbers.
Oh,
I like
really?
The teen and the single digits.
Yeah. John Ross looks really small in 83. Like, extra small in the 83.
Yeah.
But, like, come on, respect Brent Celek.
Respect Brent Celek.
That's a Super Bowl champ.
Put a big 87 on one of his buildings that he owns.
I don't think anyone's worn 87.
They have not. Giving out 87 since Celek.
Well, Elliot.
It's good to know the Eagles respect their players, unlike the Phillies, who just hand out number 35 willy nilly like that.
Well, you're right, sir.
You might have a point there. Well, Elliot, I just wanted to let you know I asked ChatGPT about your Back to the Future question, and it did agree with you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
so. I'm correct. It's not his mom, so it's,
I'm actually scared of saying the word again, so I don't want to say the word again. But if you were listening to the show a couple of days ago, know that ChatGPT agreed with Elliot's position about Marty McFly going back in time and meeting up with his mother.
And again, not that he should, just that he could.
All right. Well, you can listen to Elliot every day on the Go Birds podcast and Go Birds Radio tomorrow.
Well, there's an Eagles game at 1:00.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I will be on the pregame.
We'll be on a pregame show tomorrow. Yes,
pregame tomorrow.
Wow. And who's hosting it?
Yeah, I think it's Glenn and Ike, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, Elliot. All right, thanks, all right. Man. You can listen to the Go Birds podcast every day. By the way, we do have a big announcement coming up at 4:00, a huge station announcement. It will happen during the Mount Rush 4, though, because the big announcements for the station have to work around our bits. 215-592-9494. How much blame does Rob Thompson deserve for the current Philly slide? Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What up, Chuck?
Yeah, the Philly suck. All right, that's my sports point. Okay. But I'm calling up to address one thing, right? And that's fraud from the LGBT community's vice president, okay? Of that corny-ass Winch Club. She don't call up but one time a year. One time.
Yeah.
And gets right into the league. You know what I mean? She better eyes. She woo you guys with a soft voice. You know what I'm saying? Soften you guys up like a pop tart. You know what I'm saying? You guys up there and let her in the league. It's a doggone shame. It's supposed to be a show of accountability. I didn't hear. Where was she at on Mount Rushmore week? Where was she at when we were, rigging out who was the best athlete in the city.
Where was she at when I was walking to my car after Chinkies, scared that Chuck might be behind me?
Exactly. Where was she at when we had our feed?
Yeah.
Where was she at? One time a year, and then she gets right in. And you guys want to let my boy Yoshi wait to the end of the show? Come on, man. It is a show of accountability. Listen, I tell you, and she's a winch lover. Come on, man.
Hold on. Well, what's wrong with that?
I'm doing the whole show with Wentz lovers every day.
Yeah. I will say, Chuck, you're bringing up valid points, though.
Valid points.
100%
valid.
Valid points. This is why I recuse myself from actually having to be in this. I'm just here.
You are unbelievable.
Any foxhole gal, or any foxhole, the show is about foxhole, right?
Well, but hold on. You call the morning show now. You call the midday show now. Where's your foxhole stat?
But he's an afternoon shows, man. He's
trying to spread his wings, and I don't like that.
Tell him out. Let me tell you something. Here's the thing, right? You ain't talking about me right now, all right? And let me tell you, I'm keeping it all in the family. I ain't never called another radio station, and I ain't never not called this show. I was calling the afternoon show and the morning show when I had my little haters from, you know, and then talk to Spike about them. That's his fault, okay?
Yeah.
Wow. Let's not go backwards.
But it's not my fault.
Mike kicked me off the afternoon show.
No.
I had to get in the somewhere.
That is actually not true, Chuck. That is not true. I've never kicked anyone off this show. That's not true. What happened was you started sending text messages to my cell phone threatening to hurt me. So our boss said maybe Chuck should settle down. I never got you off the show. Not one time. And when you started calling again, I put you right on the air. So if you've got a problem with Kimberly, that is fine. But I didn't do anything wrong to you, buddy.
And Wentz is the GOAT.
Well, they brought it up, so I had to put it on somebody, and you was the culprit. You know, right? So I picked you under the bus. But, you know, I mean, listen, you know, I got to call a spade a spade. She's not a foxhole gal.
That's a fair point.
She is. She just took a little bit of a break. She took a little bit of a break. She doesn't call any other show.
No, I don't care about that, man. You don't hear from her for one time a year. You about to call Leslie up. My girl Leslie. You go get her some help in the league. I mean, at least my man Yoshi.
Well, I would never let Leslie in the league.
Even during the down month. But Kimberly called up here one time a year. Only one time. And she's going to disappear again for another 6 months. And you guys hope you are broken. Once again, because she utilized the show just to be a part of a football fan. And that's a damn
football fantasy. I forgot about
that. Not a foxhole.
It's a good point, Chuck. Chuck.
Flag on that. Chuck,
Chuck, you make valid points. Yeah. I think all valid points. I don't know that there's anything we can do about it yet. Valid, but I will say this about Chuck's call. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, I've only been here for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
I rely on you guys to a certain extent. Now, Kimberly made a good move yesterday by saying that somebody else should get it.
Yes.
I thought she had a fair call today. But it is fair to say that I've been on the show since April 16th, and that's the first time I heard from Kimberly. It's just a fair point from Chuck is all I'm saying.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah,
I told y'all it was a fair point. But the fact of the matter is she is a part of the show because she's – she's a during the football season caller. That's when she calls. She doesn't call during the other parts of the year.
So it's not just fantasy.
No. She's a football fan. She's gonna call all year long.
Okay.
Every week. She is a afternoon show.
Yeah.
She is part of the family.
Well,
yeah.
she's also been a fabric of the show the last couple of years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Yeah.
As the elder statesman on the show.
Absolutely.
The LTBB carries a lot of weight.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
Like an anchor.
Yeah.
Like a weight on your back you got to drag around.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
I love all of you out there. And I know the majority of you were in the LTBB. And it's okay that you've moved on. But then there are those of us that were never moving on. Ever.
Yeah, I don't think you are actually moving on. Yeah.
Well, I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, yep.
Every last one of them. They'll tell you. Why do you think they bring it up?
They're proud of it, Spike.
Yeah, they're proud of it.
And think about this. Think about this, Spike.
Aaron from Mount Airy.
Yes.
LTBB.
Can sniff them out.
Yes. Yes.
And think about this. Carson should sue the Eagles for what the weapons they've given Jalen Hurts.
No lies.
Versus
seriously.
The weapons that
That's
they gave
straight
him.
Straight malpractice.
All I know is another quarterback won a Super Bowl with those weapons.
What weapons? Not with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and, Nelson and
Alshon Jeffrey and Corey Clement.
That was 1 year.
Well, won the Super
Bowl. He played 3 years after that.
Well,
what they do after that.
Yeah, what 3 years after that? No, we're not going down.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on.
There was no talent on his roster. It's not even a debate. It's not even a debate. There was no talent on his roster on offense.
They were 4-8.
Yeah, Josh Adams is our running back, not Saquon Barkley.
Had 4-8, had a fake injury to Carson, and then somebody else came in and led him to the playoffs.
I don't care about that. All I'm talking about when they got rid of – when they brought in young receivers. It was J.J. It was Jalen Reagor. It wasn't Devontae. It wasn't A.J. Brown. It wasn't all this.
Well, thank God we got Nick Sirianni here, CEO, who told them which receivers to go get.
That's a great point.
Yep.
I've often said that. Was that not his specialty?
It has to be, right? Somebody's obviously – Howie doesn't know how to draft wide receivers.
Exactly.
You know?
And he got Saquon here.
Who, Nick?
Nick Sirianni.
He is.
Yeah. CEO coach.
Now, that one goes to Howie. That's a paycheck.
Well, yeah, that one goes to Jeffrey, actually. Yes. That one goes to the number 36.
Yes. And I was writing a check there, buddy.
All right. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show. Oh, are we going to do?
Chuck would be mad at me.
It popped up right away. And I love his anger toward her because she sounds very nice. And Chuck coming out going, absolutely not. She sucks. It's great. It's a great Chuck call. And I never banned him from the show. I just want to be clear to that.
Yeah, we didn't mean for it to go down that road.
Well, by the way,
I didn't ban him.
Good growth from Chuck there.
Yes.
He could have torpedoed that whole thing.
He did, but he didn't.
And he got his way out.
I appreciate Chuck's growth. I appreciate, but I did not ban him from the show.
And that's the thing, Chuck. Sometimes you just got to get out of here, man. Yeah, you just got to get your point in and move on out.
If there's one person on this show you should take advice from, it's me.
Yeah.
All I do is get in and out.
In and out?
Yeah.
That's why people love you so much.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Well,
wait till football season.
All right, coming up next. Nick Foles.
Yeah, you know he's a revenge guy.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yes.
Don't go too hard on him with the Phillies because he has a microphone.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Nick Foles takes you through the Philly special about what happened before, why they decided to call the play, and why he decided to call it Philly instead of the Philly special, which is what it's actually called. And we will see if Jack can survive a High Hopes Jackie baseball report.
He's not going to be able to survive this Nick Foles segment.
Yeah, I know.
I told you, I'm pro Foles now.
Okay, I don't know about that.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Book your fantasy football party at Chickie's and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles and the home of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football Draft.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.